his sermon's quality. In fact, on that long walk back to his seat, he was debating within himself, maybe he's not even called to be a pastor. If he can't preach real well, how could he possibly be a pastor? And by the time, you know how these things go, his thoughts are just one building on another, and by the time he reached his seat, he had made the decision he was going to withdraw from Bible college that after class that day and go back home. He felt so discouraged. And as he sat down in his seat, his professor walked to the front of the class, and he was ready for this evaluation. His professor turned and looked right at him and said, "Russ, you have what it takes." Now, one statement that professor made to this young man transformed his life, transformed how he saw his future. Isn't it remarkable how one person's statement of belief can radically change how you see your future? A future, a past maybe that's been rampant with failure, all of a sudden shifts to hope. And maybe you've been there before, maybe you're there now. You've made incredibly poor decisions financially. You found yourself in debt way over your head. Or maybe you've found yourself just without any relationships. Your relationships have just fallen apart one after another. Or you're looking at unemployment, and you have one job failure after another, and you don't really even have the passion or the desire to look for a job because you don't feel that you have what it takes. And the whole time you feel so discouraged, so depressed. And maybe you've come here this morning and no one has ever said that to you before. No one has ever said you have what it takes. Not a parent, not a friend. No one's speaking into your life. You face the failures and the faults of your past head on, and nothing has given you a break. And you're so beat down, you're so beat up, that you don't have the energy to stand up again. And no one is speaking into your life. And in Scripture, there's an incredible story of a man that was facing a similar situation. He was a man that was small in stature, but he was a man that had a horrible reputation in his city. He was very well known, but he had a horrible reputation. And what he was known for was not his successes or his accomplishments, but his corruption. And one particular day, this man prepared for a guest coming to his city of Jericho. That day, this man would encounter that guest, and it would transform his future. The man's name was Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was a corrupt man, as I mentioned, because he was a tax collector. And tax collectors in his day were very different than tax collectors today. Maybe you don't see tax collectors in a bright light or anything like that, but they were really looked down upon in this day, in the first century. Because tax collectors in the first century in the Roman Empire were very corrupt. Tax collectors at this time would basically go throughout their city or their village or their community, and they would receive all of the taxes from the citizens. The problem was, these people, these tax collectors, would oftentimes overcharge for the taxes. So if I was supposed to pay $100 this year in taxes, they would say, "No, you owe $300. And then they would pocket the extra $200. Kind of smart, but very corrupt. And that's what Zacchaeus had done. And he was well known for this. A very corrupt man. And this particular day, he started to hear word that there was a guest coming to his city of Jericho. It was someone that he wanted to see. This guest was a man named Jesus. And as I mentioned, Zacchaeus was a short man. Some of you may know the song that goes along with this that some of us learn as children, that Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. You guys know that song? We won't sing it. You don't want to hear my voice singing anyway. John's much better than I am. But Zacchaeus was a short man. Because of that, he couldn't see Jesus. Because, you see, as Jesus would walk through the streets of Jericho, there was a huge crowd of people gathered around him. And because Zacchaeus was shorter, he couldn't see up over the crowd to see this man that he had heard so much about. This man that claimed to be the Son of God. So Zacchaeus figured out the route that Jesus was going to be traveling. And he runs up ahead. well in advance of Jesus coming down that path. And he climbs this tree. It was a sycamore tree. And as he climbs the tree, he sits there and waits in anticipation for this Jesus that he'd heard so much about. What would Jesus do when he got to Zacchaeus? Would he condemn him for being this corrupt man? Would he ignore him out of fear of what Zacchaeus might do to Jesus? Because Zacchaeus had great power. After all, he was a tax collector for the Roman Empire. What would Zacchaeus do? What would Jesus do when he saw Zacchaeus? And as Zacchaeus sat there in this tree, he climbed and he waited in anticipation. He started to see this figure off in the distance with this huge crowd around him walking right towards this tree and the path that Zacchaeus had figured he would be walking. And as he gets closer, he's looking and waiting to see, is this the Jesus I had heard about? And his hopes were probably nothing more than Jesus would walk past the tree and he'd get a good glimpse. If any of you have ever been at a parade and you're waiting for that one big celebrity, I remember when I was in college one time, the president of the United States, George W. Bush, came to Springfield, Missouri, where I went to college. And no one had ever seen the president. So we went out to this arena, and we didn't actually get into the arena, but we got to stand outside, and we saw the president's limo drive by. That was it. We saw the limo. Couldn't see anything in the limo, but we saw the limo. That was our big brush with greatness. And just in the same way, Zacchaeus was just hoping that Jesus would walk by and he would get to see this man he'd heard about. Because Jesus was a celebrity in some sense in that region. He was healing people, healing the sick, and raising the dead, the blind. He was an incredible man that was performing great miracles. And as this figure in this crowd started to get closer to Zacchaeus, I could imagine his heart racing. Him thinking, oh, I hope he doesn't see me. Because if he sees me, he's probably going to either embarrass me or condemn me. Because he's the Son of God, and I'm this corrupt man. See, I think Zacchaeus knew he was corrupt. You know, sometimes when we make mistakes, don't we look back and we know that we made a mistake? Scripture calls those mistakes sin. But we oftentimes know that we've made those mistakes. It's not something that's new to us or something that we don't realize. Maybe during the mistake we might not realize, but when we look back, we know. And Zacchaeus knew he was a corrupt man. This wasn't news to him. In fact, every time he would collect taxes, every time he would interact with people in his city, I'm sure he was reminded he was a corrupt man. Maybe when you go to work or when you come home, you have a constant reminder of your failures. Every time you go to work and you sit at your desk, you're reminded of what you'd hoped to be and how far you've fallen short. Every time you come home, you see your family, you're reminded of the things that you haven't been able to provide for them. And you feel like such a failure. Over and over and over again, you're reminded of these failures, of this past of mistakes. Zacchaeus was there. He really had nothing going for him. He was a shorter man that found himself in a place of power and authority, and he exploited that to make a lot of money. He was a very wealthy man. And now all of a sudden, this man that knew his failures inside and out, a man very similar to us, who are oftentimes very aware of our past and our failures, but not really sure what to do with them. This man sat there, a man of great wealth, in a tree. He sat there in a tree, waiting for Jesus. And Jesus walks down the path and right underneath the tree. And as Jesus walks under this tree, he does something that Zacchaeus never would have imagined. He says something to Zacchaeus that Zacchaeus would have never dreamed of in a million years. If you have your Bibles, if you can turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, if you have your bulletin on the back of your bulletin, the verse is there as well. Luke chapter 19, verse 5. We see what Jesus did when he reached this tree that Zacchaeus was hanging in. Verse 5, it says, when Jesus reached the spot, that's the spot where Zacchaeus is standing in this tree, He looked up and said to him. Now, at this point, Jesus hasn't said anything, but I could imagine Zacchaeus has already thought, oh boy, I shouldn't have done this. Why in the world did I go up in this tree? Now Jesus all of a sudden has looked at me. He knows I'm there. I thought I could blend in. But Jesus has seen me now. I don't know if you've ever responded to an altar call or come to the altar or responded to something at church. And as soon as you respond, you get this knot in your throat. You think, oh boy, what have I done? Why did I do this? Everyone is staring at me. And I'm probably going to lose all respect from everyone in the room. Which is, the reality is, that couldn't be further from the truth. I know for me, when I see people responding to an altar call, responding to Christ, I have great respect for them because of the step of faith, the step of confidence they are placing in their Savior. But this is where Zacchaeus was. He now locks eyes with Jesus, this man he had heard so much about. And it goes on because Jesus has something to say to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. And I would imagine that Jesus, when he said these words, he didn't say them with condemnation or anger. I think of Jesus saying these words in just such love, as a father would say to his son, Zacchaeus, why don't you come down from the tree? You don't need to be up there. And he goes on, I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Jesus is going to come to Zacchaeus' house. This would have sent shockwaves, a ripple effect to their whole city. This man who claimed to be the Son of God, Jesus, is now going to have dinner at this corrupt man's house. A sinner. A sinner. Zacchaeus must have been floored. The thought that Jesus would ever come to his house. That Jesus would go to the house of a well-known political crook. Who would have thought that? Zacchaeus sure wouldn't have. And Jesus responded to Zacchaeus not with condemnation or criticism, as most would think, but with belief. That Jesus didn't just ignore him or overlook him. He responded with belief. Jesus saw something in Zacchaeus that Zacchaeus didn't even see in himself. Zacchaeus had basically settled in his mind, in his heart, this is the life that I've lived, and this is the life I will always live. I will always be a corrupt man. I will always be a man that is driven by the dollar to make more money, whatever the cost. And now all of a sudden, Jesus sees something different in him. Imagine the shock that Zacchaeus would have had. This Jesus wants to come to his house. What an eye-opener. This is where the story takes a surprising turn. And the idea that we see in this story that I want to share with you this morning is this, that belief breaks the chains of your past. Belief breaks the chains of your past. You know, sometimes our past, our failures, our faults wrap our lives up in chains. And it feels like we will never get free from them. That our past and our failures will always dictate our future. You've probably heard it from people in your life. Hey, you've never been able to do this. Why would you think you could do this now? You've never provided for your family. So what's going to change? You've never done well at a job. In fact, you've probably been let go of every job you've ever been part of. So what's to say you're ever going to find a job that will stick, that you fit? How could you ever go to college? You couldn't even make it in high school. We are always labeled by our past. Time after time after time. But belief breaks the chains of our past. This belief that Jesus had in Zacchaeus snapped the chains of his past. That past of corruption no longer existed. Now all of a sudden there was something new. That belief that Jesus had opened Zacchaeus' eyes to a future that was separate from his failures. Up to this point, the identity of Zacchaeus, of this man, was completely wrapped up in his corruption as a tax collector. When he would walk the streets of Jericho, he wasn't seen as Zacchaeus, that nice man. He wasn't even seen as Zacchaeus, that wee little man. He was seen as Zacchaeus, the tax collector. And I would imagine that when he would walk down the street, people would look the other way. People would walk on the other side of the street. Why? Because you didn't want to encounter Zacchaeus and make him mad. He had too much power. He was willing to throw that power around, whatever the cost, to make more money. And now all of a sudden, his identity is being changed. His past and his future were inevitably intertwined. But now all of a sudden, there was a break. Through this one encounter with Jesus, everything radically changed. It's as if Christ's belief in Zacchaeus snapped the tie to his past, broke the chains of Zacchaeus' past, and all of a sudden opened a door to a future that he would have never dreamed of, that he could have never imagined. And when someone believes in us, the same thing happens. When someone walks up to you as you're doubting, you're discouraged, you're depressed, and someone believes in you, the same thing happens. Your eyes are open to a new future. This is what happened for the friend I was telling you about. See, he, after that day in class, his professor said, "Russ, you have what it takes." He remained in school, eventually would graduate from Bible college a few years later. And today, he's a pastor. In fact, he pastors a church in a poverty-stricken community here in Pittsburgh that is speaking hope into people's lives. That is sharing the same message his professor shared with him, that you have what it takes. Have you ever had someone say that to you? You have what it takes. Someone believes in you. Maybe it's a teacher or a parent or spouse, friend. If you've ever had someone do that for you, you understand the impact that this had on Zacchaeus. Changed his life. And it wasn't just another person. It wasn't just a professor or a friend or a coworker. It wasn't just another person that said these words to him. It was the very Son of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the man who knew everything about Zacchaeus. Jesus didn't walk up and see this man up in a tree, and maybe he knew the reputation, maybe he didn't, and just assume, "Hey, that looks like a nice guy. I bet you he's a good cook. Let's go to his house for dinner." I don't think Jesus did that. Jesus knew Zacchaeus' past. He knew the corruption. He knew the path that Zacchaeus was on. And he knew that this man is destined to be a hated man the rest of his life. Die a wealthy, but very discouraged man. And Jesus didn't want to have any part of that. So he walks up to this tree and he speaks this belief in Zacchaeus. It's like a beacon of hope cutting straight through the darkness of his unbelief. And it transforms Zacchaeus. Transforms him. That's because belief breaks the chains of our past. See, Christ's belief in Zacchaeus wasn't just a self-esteem boost. Sometimes we think, "Oh, if someone believes in me or Jesus believes in me, that's good. I feel better about myself. I'm all warm and fuzzy I can go have a good day. I have a smile on my face." That wasn't what Jesus was doing. He wasn't there to give Zacchaeus a nice self-esteem boost so that he could go out and have a smile on his face while he stole people's money. What Jesus said to Zacchaeus didn't just boost his self-esteem. It changed his life. See, the same man that had extorted money from the citizens of Jericho, thousands of dollars most likely, now all of a sudden responded with a heart of generosity. Look at what happens in Luke chapter 19, verse 8. "But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord," speaking to Jesus, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Everything Zacchaeus had done up to this point had been to get more. More stuff, more money. He'd been trying to hoard more and more stuff. Kind of sounds familiar. Sounds a lot like what we do in our culture. What we're shown on TV and what we're told The more stuff, the better. If you've ever seen the t-shirt, it says, he who dies with the most toys wins. The more stuff I can have, the better my life will be. If I can just get that car, that TV, or that outfit, that house, whatever it might be, the more stuff, the better. And that's what Zacchaeus had been living. He'd been living that out. Successfully, mind you, because he had gotten all the stuff. He'd just been going about it the wrong way. And now all of a sudden, this man that had been living to get more stuff and more money gives half of his possessions away to the poor. And not only that, he pays back those he had stolen money from 4 times over. He doesn't just pay it back. You know, he could have just paid it back and that'd be okay. He does it 4 times over. Now that this man that had extorted money, that had stolen money, was so incredibly greedy, in a moment responds with a heart of generosity. Zacchaeus didn't just receive a self-esteem boost from someone. Zacchaeus experienced the chains of his past being broken by the belief of Christ in him. Completely broken. His life has changed. His future has changed. See, the key to the transformation in Zacchaeus' life was the belief in Christ, but not simply that belief that Christ had in him. Because the reality is, that every single person that's here this morning, Christ believes in you. He's gone to great lengths to show his belief, his confidence in you. But, unfortunately, some of you will never experience that. Some of you will never experience the change and transformation that Zacchaeus experienced. Because it's not just about Christ's belief in you, but it's about your belief in him as well. Zacchaeus responded to Christ's belief that day in Jericho with his own belief. That he would believe in Christ. That he would basically, what that means literally, that he would say, all right, I want to put my life in control of God through the person of Jesus Christ. That no longer do I want to live my life for my own well-being, but I want to live it according to what God said I should. His life was changed because of that belief. Transferring his desires, his intentions to God. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, it shows us this. It says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. It's our heart that we believe and are justified. Justified is a big word, but basically what it means is just as if I had not. Our slate is wiped clean. Scripture says that our sin or our mistakes, our failures, are washed as white as snow. It's one of the things I love about Pittsburgh. You can look in your backyard and it's got bumps and potholes and all kinds of little things. And I know our backyard, we have these crazy, stupid moles. They're just digging holes everywhere in our yard and I can't get rid of them. And it's frustrating. When I look out into my backyard, I just get stressed out. I'm like, I want my yard to look nice, but I can't. I've tried. But in the wintertime, the snow falls. It just makes everything okay. You don't see any of that. Everything just looks nice and clean, few little yellow dots here and there, but mostly everything is nice and clean. Isn't that great? That's what Scripture says that God does for us when we entrust God with our heart. When we say, God, I believe in you. Not only do you believe in me, but I believe in you. That's what Zacchaeus did. And this is what we're talking about this whole month with our series called Ripple Effect. That my decisions set in motion my destiny. The decisions that you make today will set in motion your destiny for the years to come. And if you want to decide to continue in your life of failure or the mistakes that you've made, and you know, that's okay. That's going to be your destiny. But you have a choice, just as Zacchaeus had a choice. And the decision you make will set in motion that destiny. That's what it did for Zacchaeus. It set in motion his destiny. It didn't just impact his life, but also the life of those around him. Luke chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. Look at what happens to Zacchaeus' household, to his entire family. Verse 9, it says, Jesus said to him, speaking to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Isn't that encouraging? The Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. That's us. The Son of Man, speaking of Jesus, came to seek and save you and me. But it's not just you and me. It's also those around us. There's that ripple effect. Our decisions to believe in Christ also impact our family, our coworkers, our friends, those that we interact with on a regular basis. It can transform our entire community. Imagine the testimony that Zacchaeus must have had. Following this encounter with Jesus, Zacchaeus, being true to his word, would have walked through the streets of Jericho. People probably walking on the other side of the street as they had before, turning and not looking at him because they didn't want him to take more money from them. And Zacchaeus would walk up to the door of the people he had collected money for. And I could imagine them walking to the door thinking, how could he be here? He just collected taxes. How could he be asking for more? We don't have any money to give him. And they open the door and there's Zacchaeus. And they are just so discouraged and fearful. What is he going to say? What is Zacchaeus going to do now? And Zacchaeus responds by handing them money. Handing them money, not just any money, four times what they had overpaid. Where they were afraid that, oh man, he's going to take more money from us. Now they have more than they could have asked for. I can imagine some of these folks thinking, okay, what's the trick? Is this a setup? What are you trying to do? If this had happened today, people would be looking around the bushes for the camera. Is this like a television show? What are you trying to do here? But it was true. This is reality. Zacchaeus now was going and giving back. Imagine the testimony this must have been to his community, to the city of Jericho. A man that was known for his corruption. A man that was known for his backward, crooked ways. Now was giving away, became generous. What an incredible testimony. That's the same that happens in our lives. When your life takes a hard left, and all of a sudden, the path that you were on, path of continued failure, path of destruction, whatever it might be, and all of a sudden your life takes a hard left, and your future now is bright with hope. As Jesus said in Jeremiah, or as God said in Jeremiah 29, now you're looking at plans to prosper, not to harm. Plans to provide you with a future and a hope. Your future now looks different. Your future now is bright. Imagine the testimony that speaks to your family, to your coworkers, to those you meet on a regular basis. Imagine the difference it would make. Not only that God believes in you, but that you in turn believe in him. That happened for Zacchaeus. That was because belief breaks the chains of his past. His past no longer was dictating his future. His past no longer was dictating his interactions with people. His past was broken and it was done. Now all of a sudden he was living a life of belief in Christ. He made that decision to believe. Imagine the testimony your life could be to those around you. The ripple effect that your belief could have in your family, in your friends, your coworkers. That one moment of belief. If you were willing, that one moment to say yes to Jesus. Jesse, if you can come this morning. Today, you have an opportunity. You see, Zacchaeus, that day, had worked hard. He had planned this out. This wasn't like a random thing. Zacchaeus had found out what path that Jesus was going to be taking. And as he found out that path, he worked hard and he climbed up that tree and waited for Jesus. And some of you here this morning have climbed tree after tree after tree looking for something. Maybe you didn't even know it was Jesus, but you were looking for something. You've worked hard. You've climbed the tree of status, the tree of your career, maybe trying to find peace and fulfillment in a family. You've tried so many things, and you've climbed the tree one time after another, and it's not worked out, and you're ready to just stop. And this morning, just as Jesus did for Zacchaeus, this morning, Jesus is walking right past you. And he's stopping, looking at you and saying, you have what it takes. I believe in you. And you're at this crossroads today, a crossroads of decision. Your decision's going to set in motion your destiny. What is the decision you make? Is it a decision to allow belief to break the chains of your past? Or is it a decision to say, no, I'm going to continue with the life that I've been living? It's your decision. It's not mine. It's not your spouse's. It's not your family's. It's not your parents'. It's not your friends'. It's your decision. Zacchaeus had to make this decision. No one made the decision for him. And today, Jesus has gone to the greatest lengths he can to show you his belief in you. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but while we were still sinners, just like Zacchaeus, remember, he was a sinner. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He gave his life for you and I because he believes in you. But the question is, will you believe in him? Will you allow your life to become a ripple effect for those around you? Will you allow your life to become a ripple effect for your family? Just as Zacchaeus, his future was transformed. Will you say yes to Jesus this morning? Can you bow your heads, close your eyes with me today? If you're here today, and you hear the story of Zacchaeus, and maybe you can relate to him. You may not be a tax collector, but you can relate to Zacchaeus. Your failures and your mistakes are so real. Every day, you're reminded of the things that you've done, the mistakes that you've made. And they become more and more evident every time you see your family or you go to work. And you just want to give up. Today, Jesus is here and he wants you to know that he believes in you. He has a future for you. And all you have to do is say yes to Jesus to break the chains of your past. Placing your life in his hands. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you in a moment to raise your hand. And if by raising your hand, you're doing the same thing that Zacchaeus did. A physical expression to Jesus. Zacchaeus came down out of the tree. That was his expression to say yes. To you, that expression is just simply reaching out to God, raising your hand. And we're going to pray together as a church. I'm going to lead you in a prayer in a moment. We're not here to make you sign up for anything, but we just want to give you that chance to say yes to Jesus. And if you're here this morning with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and you're ready to say yes to Jesus, to say, yes, I believe in you, I'm going to ask you right now just to slip your hand up. Reach toward heaven. Slip your hand up. Reach toward heaven today. Anyone else? Anyone else today? Reach toward heaven today. Yes, amen. Anyone else? All right, you can put your hands down this morning. I'm going to ask everyone to pray this prayer with me today. All I am is a guide. I'm not saying any magic formula or anything special other than having conversation with God. And what I'm about to lead you in is called prayer. And we're going to be talking to God. And I would encourage you, especially those of you that raised your hand, continue to do this every day. Talk to God. Share what's on your heart with him because he wants to have that conversation with you. But if I can lead you in this prayer, if everyone can just follow me and repeat after me as I pray, and those of you who raise your hand, speak these words from your heart, not as empty words that you're repeating, but words from your heart. If everyone can just follow me and repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for your belief in me, that you would give everything for my life and my future. Today, I say yes to you. I say yes to your plan for my life. And I want to live my life separate from my past of failures. Give me a view and a perspective of the future you have for me. And give me the courage to show your love to those around me. In Jesus' name, amen. And those of you that raised your hand, and maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you prayed that prayer with your heart. Scripture says that just as Zacchaeus, that today your future has been changed. Continue to walk in that. See, Zacchaeus could have said to Jesus, today I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor, and I'm going to give four times back of what I stole from people. And he could have done nothing with that. He could have just basically said that to Jesus and done nothing. But taking the next step to act upon it, that's where he started to see his life changed. And I would encourage you to continue to walk in that. And you might think, well, what do I even do? Where do I go? What steps do I even take from here? We have some tools for you, some resources in the foyer at our Connection Center, our Next Steps table. I encourage you, on your way out, there's a little yellow folder, a little yellow envelope back there. And there's some folks that could talk to you. If you want, just walk by the table and grab the envelope. You don't even have to talk to anyone if you don't want to. Just get some of those tools and read up and continue to walk in your relationship with Christ. The decision to say yes to Him. Can we stand this morning to prepare to close? What an exciting Labor Day weekend. What an exciting way to kick off this great weekend. To say yes to Jesus. But to be reminded that Christ first said yes to you and I. Let's pray before we go this morning. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for every person here. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing here at Calvary and in our community. Lord, I pray that every person that's here, every person that's standing, Lord, this morning, Lord, that you will break the chains of their past. Lord, that your belief and their belief in you will break the chains of their past, Lord. Lord, I pray and just declare, Lord, freedom in their future, Lord. A future, Lord, that is filled with your goodness, with your blessing and favor. Lord, a future that is filled with your power working through them. Lord, in their workplaces this week, Lord, I pray that you will go with them and your presence will surround them. Lord, they will see sick healed. They will see hearts restored. They will see relationships mended. God, through your power in their lives. God, go with us this morning. I pray that you would just bless every person in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a great Labor Day tomorrow, and we'll see you next Sunday.